Hello and welcome to a new episode of Safe Space with me, Bella. This is the first episode of my podcast that is going to be recorded in English, in case you haven't noticed. It is just something I want to try before I have decided to record everything in German, which is my native language, but there were many people who were quite upset about the fact that they could not listen to my podcast because it was in German and they don't understand German. So I've decided to record an episode now in English and see how it goes, if I feel comfortable speaking in English, if it's going to be easy for me, and how you guys like it also. And from then on, I will decide like which language I will choose in the end. But I feel very comfortable speaking both languages in general, I would say. I live in Amsterdam, so I speak English all the time. I study in English. When I talk to myself, even, I feel like I talk mostly in English now. But German still is the language that is like closest to my heart. It sounds very cheesy, but I think German is still the language that is for me like the most effortless to speak, and where I don't have to think really about my words, but it just comes out so naturally because obviously I grew up in Germany. It's my native language. But so I want to try this now in English and see how that goes. Other than that, I hope you're fine. I hope you're happy, and if you're not, feel and heal. We've made it through the holiday season. I feel like Christmas time is a tough cookie sometimes. I don't know. I'm not the biggest fan of Christmas, I have to say, and in general, like any holidays that involve family coming together is sometimes a bit hard for me. And especially Christmas always feels so forced, and you know, it's that day where everyone has to come together and we have to be happy and we have to pretend like we're happy family. Although we usually never eat together, so it just feels so fake, and I don't like the concept of Christmas. I am very much here for, you know, trying to improve like the bonds with my family members apart from Christmas, but just like, you know, setting, or it's not even that we set that date, but it's just like society and the church set that date, you know, that family has to come together and we have to pretend like we're happy and we have to, you know, do this and that, and I just don't like it. And I don't know if you noticed, but there was no new episode for like 2 weeks now. And it's not because I stopped with a podcast, but I just didn't have the microphone here because my mom had it in Germany when I was there for Christmas, and she shipped it all the way to here for me. I finally have a microphone back and I can record a new episode for you guys. And I asked some of my friends and also you what kinds of topics you guys would be interested in hearing me talk about. And one of my dearest friends said that she would like me to speak about the topic aloneness, or simply just how to spend more time with yourself. I would say that I'm quite a master of isolating myself, but in a good way. You know, I really learned to love spending time with myself, and I'm really, really, really comfortable being alone. And I think I've almost come to a point where I would say that I honestly very much often prefer being alone than being with a group of people, or even my friends sometimes, you know, because it just gives me so much peace. And I know that it's something, you know, like this whole being alone by yourself thing, like it is something that a lot of people struggle with. I know that it's something that is not easy for everyone. There might be people who are even afraid to like walk outside alone because, you know, what if people think, oh my gosh, she does not have friends, or he does not have friends. or even to, like, you know, sit in a cafe all by themselves and have a coffee or go to a restaurant, you know. I know that a lot of people have a fear of being alone because also they don't want to be portrayed from the outside as, you know, they're lonely, they don't have friends, nobody likes them, you know. And there was a time of my life a couple years ago where I would have never imagined myself being able to be so comfortable sitting alone in a restaurant and having my meal all by myself. I remember a friend of mine telling me that he was all alone by himself in Greece and he spent his holiday there alone. And I was so fascinated. I was like, you were there alone, no friends. And he was like, no friends, just me. And I was like, okay, but what do you do when you go out for dinner? Then you go there alone and you eat by yourself? And he was like, yeah, I go there and I eat by myself. And I was so impressed by that. And I just could not imagine myself being alone in a restaurant, eating alone. So there was definitely a time in my life where I could have not imagined doing all those things by myself. And I was impressed by other people who were able to do that. Yeah, so today I just want to talk a bit about, you know, this whole aloneness thing. You know, what it gives me, why I think it's important to be able to spend time with yourself. Why it is also important in relation to romantic relationships. How it can, like, improve your romantic relationships if you're comfortable spending time with yourself. And also how you can maybe learn to spend more time with yourself. I wrote down some notes on my notebook today about the things I want to say so that I don't forget anything. So yeah, bear with me if I should remember something halfway through. But why does being alone give me so much peace? I think there is nothing more peaceful to me than being all by myself, because that is really the time when I can listen to my deepest thoughts and listen to my body and my mind and really listening to what do I need right now. And when I'm all by myself, I can do exactly what I want to do, what I need to do. I don't have to make any compromises because of anyone. And I think I'm a very headstrong person. When I think of something, I just have to do it, and I will do it. And I'm very comfortable doing it alone if no one else is going to do it with me. And that's also how I started my first solo travel, because I wasn't even, like, planning on going all by myself in the beginning. The original plan was to go with two friends to Thailand, but that didn't work out fully then, or to me it was quite complicated because there were so many COVID restrictions and I wanted to go traveling without those restrictions, and I was looking up countries where they had, you know, not so many restrictions anymore. And I've done my research and I came up with Costa Rica. So my two other friends, they went to Thailand. And I'd made my peace with Costa Rica, and none of my other friends had money at that time or even the time to go traveling for 2.5 months. So yeah, I decided to go all by myself. And that was, how old was I? Let me think. I think I was 19 or 20, maybe 20. I think I was 20 at that time, or 19. I'm not fully sure anymore. So I was quite young, and I decided to go to Costa Rica all by myself for originally 3 months. But then throughout the trip, I became really, really broke, first of all. I spent too much money because Costa Rica is so fucking expensive. And I wasn't fully aware of that in the beginning for some reason, but it was very expensive. And so I became really broke, and I decided to go home before I will be even broker. That's why I cut it short a little bit. But 2.5 months I was all by myself traveling through Costa Rica and a bit of Panama in the end. That was life-changing. That was pretty iconic, I have to say. But that was, like, the first time when I was really, really alone by myself. I mean, I've also made the decision to to move to Amsterdam all by myself. You know, I also moved to Berlin all by myself. So I've made some, I made some strong decisions for myself at a very young age. So I would say I was not scared to be by myself in a place, but it wasn't very easy always, I have to say, you know? And obviously there were challenges while I was traveling. It wasn't always easy being alone. And I still remember the first night in my hostel. I arrived pretty late. It was at evening. And I was so hungry that I just ordered at the restaurant of the hostel. And I was sitting alone in the hostel restaurant all by myself. And I felt so awkward just sitting there and doing nothing that I took out my journal and I was like journaling, you know, so that it felt like at least I was speaking to myself. And then I was looking up and I was looking around me and there were so many people around me. And then I was like, no, you're not gonna sit here alone journaling now when there are so many people around you and you can make friends and you can go talk to them. There's no way. So I put down my pen and I took my plate and I went to a table with two girls, two very lovely British girls. And I was like, hey, can I sit with you guys? And they were like, oh my God, yeah, sure. Like, come take a seat. And they were so open and so, you know, receiving of me. And it gave me like such a good feeling and it made me realize we're all in the same place. Like, we're all in the same position of, you know, where we're out here traveling. They were traveling together, but there were also so many people traveling alone. And everyone is very much open to making new friends, making new connections. So I have never met anyone during my travels who was like, no, sorry, you cannot sit with us. We're not interested in making any new friends. This has never happened. I felt like everyone was always super open to make friends. So yeah, I sat down with them. We had a whole talk. I was like, yeah, it's my first night here. I think for them as well, they also just arrived in Costa Rica. And we ended up spending our days in San Jose in the capital together. And then even later during my travels, like, we were apart for some time. And then even later, we accidentally met on a bus again, and I was like, oh my God, you guys, you were like the first two people I've talked to on my journey here. And yeah, so we were like catching up and everything. And I think even later then I met them again in Santa Teresa. So I think I met them like three times throughout my travels. But yeah, no, that was amazing. And just, you know, like making this first step of like, you know, getting out of my comfort zone, approaching people. And I feel like when you're with a group of people, when you're traveling with a group of people, then you don't necessarily have to talk to new people. You don't necessarily have to make new friends because you already have your people. You're already very much like comfortable, you know, and maybe you're also more confident when you're in a group of people. So approaching people all by yourself alone can be scary because it makes you very much like vulnerable, you know. It makes you seem, maybe to some people, it makes you seem like, you know, you don't have friends, or, you know, you're a loser because you're alone. But I think it's such a power move. It's such a confident move to go up to someone being all by yourself, and maybe even going up to a group of people or two people and being like, hey, can I sit with you guys? I don't want to eat by myself and I'm here for making new friends, you know? So I think, why not? It's such a great thing and it shouldn't be something awkward. I think it's a very legitimate thing to do and very normal also. Maybe not in our digital age because everyone is just, you know, sliding in each other's Instagram DMs, but approach people, make new friends, and it's going to give you so much confidence, you know? And I would have been fine also with eating by myself. I would have been fine with like journaling, you know, and going to bed alone. But I was just not in the mood for it. I was like, it is my first night in Costa Rica and I just want to make new friends. And yeah, so I made new friends there. They were my first friends in Costa Rica. And then I was always moving from one place to another. I was never in a place for longer than 5 days, really. I was always moving. And that became really draining as well, you know, always meeting new people, always having to introduce yourself again, always, you know, having to be at your best and friendliest again, because obviously you want to make friends, so you have to show yourself from your best side. And it wasn't always great, obviously, especially when it came to that part when I realized I'm fucking broke. I think I need to go home. I was quite, you know, I was becoming quite stressed about that. So sometimes I also just chose to be by myself and not make any new friends, because it became really tiring. And it's not because I was antisocial. I loved, you know, meeting new people. And when I decided to, you know, go out and talk to people and make new friends, that's what I did. But then there were days where I was like, no, today I'm going to be all by myself alone. And I always started my day usually eating breakfast and journaling. That's when I also discovered my big love for journaling, because it felt like, you know, having a conversation with myself, laying all my thoughts out there on this paper, seeing what I'm thinking. Because sometimes you're having so many thoughts, but it's not clear what you're thinking, because it just all feels like, you know, one big like ball in your head of thoughts. And just getting it on a paper and seeing it like laying out there on this paper, your thoughts written down, gives it like so much more structure in my head. You know, I just see my thoughts written down. I'm like, okay, this is what I'm thinking. This is what I need to work on. So it felt like I was less alone when I was journaling, because I felt like, you know, I was still talking to myself. I was having a conversation with myself and just checking in with, you know, how am I doing? And then I would, you know, either go to the beach by myself, or I would just stroll down the streets, like just check out some of the shops that they had. They had really nice little shops with like cute, like handmade stuff and like dresses and all that jewelry. Lots of Palo Santo always in the stores. Doing yoga by myself, going to yoga classes. And the thing with like being alone also while you're traveling is that you're never alone until you choose to be alone, because there's so many people around you. Even you don't approach people, people are going to come and approach you, you know? So if you don't want to be alone, you're not going to be alone. I would say Costa Rica was, I think, so yeah, my first solo travel was really the first time when I really grew into like being really confident with myself and spending time with myself, and also seeing how good it made me feel, because I felt so confident. I was like, I don't need anyone. I don't need a relationship. I don't need a lover. I don't even need friends. I am very much good on my own. And I think this mindset is healthy to a certain degree. I think it's important to be comfortable enough with yourself to think, you know, that you love spending time with yourself and you're good on your own. But thinking that you don't need anyone, it's only healthy to some degree, I would say, because it's very much valid to need someone every once in a while, you know, and it's very much valid to having the need to talk to another person, to hear another person's opinion on your thoughts, and to also spend time with someone. Like, that is very much valid. And there were times also during my travel where I was missing people, where I was missing my friends, where I was, you know, it is not the same when you make friends traveling. I mean, obviously you can build really strong connections in a short amount of time. That's also what, you know, what I realized, like it is possible, but it is just not to compare it with, you know, having your loved ones at home and knowing those people for years, and like, you know, where it's so effortless to spend time with them. And I was just missing that kind of person. I was missing a person where it's like effortless to spend time with, just a best friend. And yeah, so there were also times where I just didn't like being alone, and I was missing people. And I think that is very valid as well. But building this ability to also like spend time with yourself and being comfortable with that is important. As I already said in the beginning, being alone is also so important in relation to your romantic relationships. I am convinced that if you're not able to love yourself and be with yourself, you're not going to be able to be with anyone. And I think the problem is that a lot of people, they're lacking something. And instead of looking for that within themselves, they're looking for that in someone else. And what then happens is that they're only going to fill up their own holes or the things that they're missing with another person's presence, with another person's energy, with another person's love, so that they become really dependent on that other person. And that is how toxic relationships start, basically. You give each other things that you're missing and become really dependent on each other. In my opinion, a healthy relationship should be where both people should be happy individually, where both people should be able to fulfill themselves individually. And then coming together is only the cherry on top of everything. One of my best friends once told me a really nice metaphor, and it stuck with me ever since because I felt like it was so fitting. He said that he can get himself to 100% all by himself. You know, he can make himself really fucking happy. And unless he meets someone that can get him to 110%, he doesn't want it. Because without those 10%, he's still 100, you know? And I think that is that's a nice attitude, I would say. Like, I can make myself happy. I can get myself to 100%. And I only want to meet someone that will give me those additional 10% where I'm like 110 or maybe even 120. But take away those 10, 20%, I'm still 100%. And that is, in my opinion, how healthy relationships work. You are 100%. You are content with yourself. You're fulfilled with your life. You have those things that make you happy. And then another person comes and only adds up to that, you know, and doesn't make up for anything that you're lacking of. And the only way to become fulfilled is to figure out what makes you happy without being dependent on anyone else. When you come to a point where you're really confident, you know, and being alone and very much happy with being alone, you will start to attract people more also. Trust me, like it really does work. Because I think in general, like, it's very attractive also for if I meet someone, it's so attractive to see people, you know, being able to spend time with themselves. Yesterday, for example, I was at yoga, and then a guy approached me after yoga, and he was telling me about how he was going to the cinema alone and watch a Studio Ghibli movie by himself later. And I was like, dude, that is so cool. That is something I would do 100%. And I felt like that was so sexy, you know, being able to go to the cinema all by yourself. That is something I would do. And that's great. And that just shows that you can be a great company for yourself and that you're not dependent on anyone else. Like, he's not going to wait until someone says, you know, let's go watch a movie, or, you know, until his friends have time. But whenever he wants to go, he will go. So yeah, I thought that was quite attractive. We also exchanged numbers after that, so let's see. But I think when you're alone, that is the only time when you don't get distracted by anything else, by anyone else. Because I feel like oftentimes when we're feeling sad or, you know, there's something going on within us, we tend to distract ourselves with, you know, social interactions, meeting up with friends, drinking, partying, you know, really just anything but listening to our thoughts and what's going on inside of us. There's a great metaphor for that. In German, it's das Dampfkesselmodell. I don't know if I can explain it fully in English, but it's basically like having a pot with boiling water, and the water is boiling already. And instead of lifting up the lid and letting out all the steam, you know, so that it can cool down, you're just pressing down the lid even harder, you know, trying to make it not boil over. And that is exactly what people do when they distract themselves. They don't let all those thoughts out. They don't let those thoughts be present. They just, you know, distract it and just push the lid down even firmer. And that is very unhealthy for your mental health. in general, if you feel like, you know, you have a lot of thoughts, you have a lot of worries, there's something going on with inside of you, sit with yourself and listen to what is going on. And I do that in my meditations. I do that in my meditations every morning. Right when I wake up, I'm not on my phone. I always charge my phone in the kitchen. That's literally start doing that. It's so revolutionary. It was so revolutionary for me because I used to, you know, first thing in the morning, always be on my phone and be already so exposed to what everyone else was doing. And my brain wasn't even like awake yet. So I stopped doing that and really dedicating my mornings to myself. And what I do is I sit down on my meditation cushion and I burn some Palo Santo. I have like this really nice playlist with like, you know, healing sounds with like mantra chantings and all that. So I put that playlist on, so really nice music. And then I also have a jar. I have a jar that I fill up with little notes of things that I'm grateful for. And seeing that jar just like filling up slowly makes me feel so full, and being reminded that there are so many things I'm grateful for right now already. So yeah, I've recently started doing that. And my routine is to sit down and close my eyes first things in the morning and just listen to my thoughts, listen to what is going on inside of my little head. And I am sometimes really surprised about how many thoughts I already have right in the morning with sitting down in meditation and clearing out my thoughts and starting the day with an empty head. I have new space for new thoughts to fill up my head. So yeah, I can strongly recommend you doing that. And it doesn't have to be for like, I don't know, 20, 30 minutes or an hour. I mean, I like to do it for 20 minutes now because, you know, I'm practicing it every day. But it can also just be 5 minutes or 10 minutes or however long you feel like doing it. But just, you know, the act of sitting down and giving you the time to be present with your thoughts is very valuable and such an act of self-love. And I can assure you, you will be able to tell like what a difference it makes to start your day like this, you know, instead of, you know, waking up like one eye is still like closed, the other open, and then you're on your phone scrolling already. It's not good. It's not good for your brain. It's not good for your mental health. Leave your phone and go and sit in meditation. Close your eyes, take some deep breaths, and look inside of you. What is going on? Oh my God, someone just rang the bell. And obviously not every day is the same, you know, like sometimes I really struggle with my morning meditations. I really struggle to find stillness and there's so many thoughts in my head and I'm really struggling with like thinking about nothing, but that is also okay. Just accepting that there's a lot going on inside of you right now and that you maybe are not able to focus today that much, and that's fine. Then tomorrow is going to be better. And accepting that and then, you know, letting go of it and not, you know, being too annoyed by that or, you know, getting angry at yourself for not being at your best right now or not being able to focus. That is like just a tip that I can give you for meditation. And when I tell people that I meditate every morning and sometimes also in the evenings, they always ask me like how I do that and how do I meditate? Like, how do you meditate? And I will give you just a short example of how a meditation can look like because it can be so simple. And as I said, it doesn't have to be 20, 30 minutes or an hour. It can be even like 5 to 10 minutes and it's already enough often. And the most important thing during meditation is to be present in the here and now. And sometimes I notice, you know, that my thoughts are wandering and they're everywhere but here. You know, I'm already thinking about what am I going to eat for breakfast later, you know, when I'm going to meet up with my friends, you know, I'm thinking about school stuff. So I'm really not here. I'm already somewhere else with my thoughts. And you can get yourself back to the present by breathing, and by breathing deeply, because feeling the breath, you know, breathing in and breathing out really gets your thoughts and your mind back into your body. And that's where you want to be. You want to be here, connecting your mind and your body and your breath and being here in the present now. And one thing that I always envision is that my mind is like, you know, it's like a blue sky. And all the thoughts that I have are just the clouds that are passing by. And a cloud doesn't like just stand still. Eventually, it will always move, you know. And sometimes there is a cloud that is like stuck in my head and it doesn't move. But then, you know, I remember, oh, the clouds are not still, they move. And then I just let go of that thought. I let go of that cloud and let it pass by so that my mind is like the blue sky again. Just that is just a metaphor that helps me to envision, you know, that my thoughts can pass by and I'm not going to hold on to my thoughts. And and then I, as I said, I like to play some music that just calms me. And I like to give myself positive affirmations also, like, you know, I am loved, I'm grateful for my friends, I am healthy, I have light in me, I am positive. Like just telling myself all those really like positive and loving things just fills me up with so much love. And then writing little notes and putting it in my gratitude jar. Like, I don't know, it just shows me that there's so much love inside of me that I can give to myself. And sitting down in meditation, you know, giving myself those positive affirmations, breathing, doing something good for myself, all these things are acts of love for myself. And I think that is the most important thing to becoming more comfortable with spending time with yourself, is, you know, just showing yourself love constantly. And you can do that by practicing yoga and meditation, but you can also do that by doing really simple things like going on a mental health walk, you know, going just on a little walk all by yourself, listening to your favorite podcast, listening to your favorite music, or going on coffee dates with yourself, you know, get yourself a really nice cup of coffee and read a book, or, you know, just doing things that make you feel peaceful and where you can, you know, fully be present with yourself. I think that those are the things that I would advise you to do if you want to become more confident with yourself. And also solo traveling. Try solo traveling. I was giving you the example of Costa Rica. That was my very first solo travel. And last summer I was in Bali also all by myself. And yeah, it was so magical. It was really, really, really magical. And I think it would not have been that magical if I would have been with other people. Just the fact that I was all by myself made me feel everything just so much deeper, you know. I was taking in the nature much deeper. I was, all the conversations I had with the locals, I was taking it a lot more deeper because I was alone, you know. I was all by myself and there was no one to distract me. And obviously I made friends on my way, but coming home in the end of the day, coming back to my hostel, my room, and being by myself was very, very peaceful. And I can recommend doing solo traveling. I think that is, it's revolutionary. It's revolutionary. And I think everyone should have experienced it. Obviously, you don't have to right away, you know, go to Costa Rica, go to Bali for 2, 3, half a year, whatever. But maybe just do a day trip. Maybe just do a day trip somewhere. If you live in Amsterdam, go to the beach. Just go to the beach, spend a day at the beach alone, and then work your way up, you know, like, I don't know, book an Airbnb, spend 2, 3 days there, see how it feels. And if you're afraid to do it, then that is exactly when I think you should do that. And I can understand that you're maybe afraid of it, you know, like, what if it gets boring? What if, you know, there's a challenge coming up and you wish there was someone else to solve it with you? Or, you know, I understand all those fears. I would lie if I would say that I never had any of those thoughts and I'd never had any of those worries, because I had them too. But you will see how powerful you are on your own, and you don't even know that yet. Like, you will see how much fun you can have on your own and how powerful you are, that after that, you will become so much more confident in yourself. And the people that you attract will be also confident people. Because I am at that point where I'm like, you know, I don't want to spend, I'm at that point where I think I cannot become close with people who don't know who they are and who are not individually fulfilled with themselves, because it is just, I don't think that's what I attract, and that's not what nourishes me anymore and what helps me to grow. But really, like, you know, like-minded people help me to grow and keep my peace. So when you're able to do that, and when you're able to spend time with yourself and be really happy on your own, that's when you attract the right people, I think, in my opinion. So try meditation, try going on dates with yourself, try solo traveling. You don't have to go full out, but those are the things that really made me grow and become really comfortable on my own. And I do so many things on my own. I even go out for parties mostly on my own. Like, I go on techno parties on my own. I go shopping on my own. I go to cafes. I travel alone. And I'm so happy and comfortable with it. Yeah, so I think that was it with today's episode. I hope that I could inspire you to be more comfortable with yourself in aloneness, and that aloneness is nothing bad, but something very powerful and strong and peaceful also. And it can get you a long way on your healing journey also. So spend more time with yourself and become your own best friend, I would say. Yeah. Thank you for listening, and thank you for all those positive comments always on Instagram. Or I also see people writing in the Q&A box on Spotify and suggesting topics they would like to hear about. So if there's something specific you would like me to talk about, just let me know through Instagram or the Q&A box on Spotify. I would be happy to see what you guys are thinking. I'm sending you all the love that I have, and I wish you a lovely day. And until next time, bye-bye.